Hey, if you think operations manuals are just something as an afterthought, we're going to prove you wrong today. And I went halfway around the world to get this expert on my podcast. Stick around.
This is the Franchise Pitfalls and Profit Show. Each week, we bring you the challenges and triumphs of being in the franchise development and consulting business. The things you need to make money faster. And now your host, one of the most successful franchise developers in North America, Don Shin.
Welcome, everybody. I am so excited. I went halfway around the world to get Penny, find a good time that she could do the show with us. I'm so excited, Penny. Welcome to the show. Let me introduce you briefly. Penny is an author. She is really an operations manual specialist. She's written manuals, but today she is really focused on consulting and coaching the companies rather than doing it for them, teach them and help them and guide them through how to do it. We're so excited to talk about the importance of an operations manual to a franchise company. So Penny, just so excited to have you. Thanks so much for giving us your time.
Don, I'm thrilled to be here. Thank you.
You are welcome. It is my pleasure. Well, as we've talked a bit, you know, my audience is franchisors. It can be franchisees, franchise consultants, or franchise brokers. Sometimes we have the audience of people who are looking at buying a franchise. So that's the audience we want to speak to today. But obviously, I think for the most part, we're going to talk to franchisors about the importance of of a really good operations manual. But it's also important for consultants, you know, I think, to understand this as they're helping clients into certain franchise brands. I think it's also going to be important, you know, you brokers out there, you consultants out there, don't turn off or don't click delete on this recording, because you're going to want to tune in as to why it's so important for you to help your clients into brands that respect this and really understand the importance of the operations manual. So I am going to dive right in, Penny. I wanted to start kind of at a 30,000 foot level from a strategy, from an important standpoint. You know, tell us, you know, why it's important, you know, to have a strong operations manual. And then I'd like you to answer it in kind of two segments. One towards the emerging brand, someone who's in the throes of developing an operations manual to go to market, or maybe they've already gone to market, but they didn't do it correctly. And also would love you to speak to those in the audience who are existing brands. They've got, you know, maybe hundreds of units, and maybe they don't pay attention that much to their operations manual anymore. So why, from a strategy 30,000 foot level, why is it so important for people to pay attention to their operations manuals?
Well, first of all, everybody thinks that the franchise agreement is the be all and end all of the contract. But actually, the operations manual is the second most important part of the franchise package, because first of all, the franchisor needs to replicate the business system faithfully. If you don't have a good operations manual, you can't replicate the system faithfully. So if you can't write excellent, clear, standard operating procedures, how on earth can your franchisees follow them? So you get franchisees off brand. And I always use the analogy. When I was a Middle East correspondent, I used to stay in hotels across the Gulf states. I think you call them it's the Persian Gulf in the States. And I used to do a swing from sometimes as far away as Baghdad to Kuwait to Bahrain, all the way around to Muscat. And where there were holiday inns, I would stay. But when I woke up, I wouldn't know which country I was in and which holiday inn was on what date, because everything was the same. And that is what the manual aims at. It is to underpin the terms and conditions of the contract, but most importantly, faithfully represent the brand.
That's excellent. Yeah, we lived in Tokyo twice for about 5 years, and I'll never forget, you know, it was not that we ate at McDonald's a lot, but it was great for the kids. And one of the Tokyo McDonald's actually had a British two-story bus as their sort of their party room. This is a long time ago. And I'll never forget. I mean, the experience was the same, and I'll never forget coming home on what we used to call home leave. And we'd come back to the States. And the first time we would go to McDonald's here in the States, my, you know, 3-4-year-old daughter asked for rice. You know, well, the menu was a little different, but the whole experience was the same, walking up to the counter, talking to the folks. So, you are absolutely spot on. Can you talk a little bit about the differences? Are there differences, do you think, between the emerging brand and how they should do it and why they should do it, or not so much why anymore, but how they should be doing it versus an existing brand with hundreds of units? Why should they bother to go back into their operations manual after they've been operating for so many years?
Well, I think there's a very simple answer to that. If you're dealing with HR and you are touching upon a piece of legislation and you haven't updated it and your franchisees follow it, you could get into all sorts of problems. It is absolutely essential that any changes are made actually in real time. And I know that this poses a lot of problems. I have dealt So, you know, a lot happens in a decade. And the last thing that anybody wants is for a franchisee to follow advice that is 10 years out of date.
Interesting. That's really, really interesting. So it not only has a real-time profitability standpoint, but it also has a legal exposure arm.
It does. Yes, it does. But in fact, it actually is a it's something that will help you scale your business, because every franchisor looks at continuous improvement. Mm-hmm. If you're not improving continuously, then you are selling your franchisee short. So if for example, you make any modification to the business system, it should be in the manual. So yeah. If a new plumbing division, then you should know all about how that operates, even for the franchisees who perhaps are allowed to opt out of some of the services for whatever reason. But at some stage, they might want to opt in.
Yes, that's for sure. Can you talk, and you talked about doing it real time, which is not, you and I haven't talked about this, so I don't want to put you all too much on the spot, but, are there best demonstrated practices for how to make this live, or how to make this more active, or how to put this into their system, but not, I mean, I don't think anybody's printing manuals anymore, but can you speak to the technology part of the operations manual?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, in my book, Manual Magic, I have a whole 2 chapters on this. It depends entirely what stage of your business you're at as to the technology that's suitable. Hmm. If you're a startup, you obviously don't want to spend a huge amount of money going on to what I call a knowledge sharing PDF with links,
okay,
in the cloud, so that everybody has password protected access. If you use the links in what I would call a base manual, a core operating brand standards manual, then you can put links throughout this. That will go into a database, and the database is what would be updated in real time. So it makes it easier and far less onerous, because somebody is always in charge of updating their side of the business. So a department head, for example, who deals with maybe supply chain, they would be involved in the updates for that in real time.
Exciting. That's great. No, that's great. That's great information, really good insight.
So when you get a little bit bigger, you want to scale it. So you might go for a knowledge sharing center, whereby you've got a portal, you can go through into the portal, you can access all the documentation, et cetera, et cetera. Now, my view is that the term operations manual is really outdated, because what do we think about an operations manual? We think about something that's text heavy, something that is really onerous. We don't really want to pick it up and run with it, because we think we've been trained sufficiently.
Right, correct.
And we have young millennials and Generation Z, and we have Alpha coming up, and they just don't deal with operations manuals. They go to YouTube, TikTok, Instagram.
Interesting.
They're tech savvy. They want something different. They want an environment in which they can learn and grow, and they want to participate. So I've kind of turned the operations manual on its head in the book by saying, develop a knowledge sharing environment in which all the team members can participate, learn and grow. Because these generations, they don't really want to go from the top down. They're not interested in sort of great corporate spiels of how you do this and how you do that. They want something that's more exciting, something that they can help generate, something that they can get rewarded for in terms of helping with continuous improvement.
Interesting. Interesting.
I don't want to spoil what's in the book in case anybody decides that they would quite like a copy. But there is a fictional franchise which is called rather tweely Patisserie Penelope. It's the kind of franchise I would have developed had I known about franchising in my 30s or even 40s. And in it, we talk about Mary, who has suddenly seen there's a big, big problem in the patisserie. The kitchen hand, who arrives very early, is supposed to take the butter out of the fridge so that it's soft by the time the chef uses it to make the Victoria sponges.
Okay.
She thinks, now, this isn't happening. He forgets. So what can we do to try and make this a better process? So she times it with the microwave, and we've got 30 steps of how she... And then she goes to the manager and says, look, I've sorted this out. What do you think? And says, manager says to her, right, use your smartphone, make a little video and upload it to our knowledge sharing platform, which is a dedicated platform. So she does this. It's reviewed by head office. Head office says, that's fantastic. Here's a voucher for Amazon for you. And we're going to enter you into the Innovator of the Year, or the Video of the Year, contributor to our knowledge sharing platform. And then everybody's talking about it, saying how they've how it's helped them, and she wins the prize at the annual conference.
Wow.
So this is how you start to get the participation. And once people are actually interested in making a difference to their franchise, I think that is a recipe for success.
Wow. That is I've learned to call these things BFOs, blinding flashes of the obvious. That is really terrific. Let me go down an avenue here. Let's do this. Talk about how you do what you do today. Because when you and I first connected a couple of months ago, I was thinking I need someone to write manuals for my private clients on occasion. And you were there. No. I don't do that. I have a better way. So talk to us about that shift from writing manuals and what you do today.
Well, as a result of the pandemic, I was finally pushed into thinking about what I could do to utilize my time. And for a long while, there's been a little sort of message that said, you've got to leave some kind of legacy, because when you retire, none of this is going to be written down. So that's how I came to write Manual Magic, which is create the operations manual your franchisees need to succeed. And it takes you right from scoping the blueprint of your manual to how to put it on a knowledge sharing environment, such as a center or a platform. And anybody can take this and understand how to do it. But as we all know, life isn't quite as simple. So to back this, I coach and mentor teams and solopreneurs. Excellent. So they would typically come to me and say, right, we're going to buy a copy of this for all our team members, or I bought a copy for myself, but I'd actually like my hand held while we do this, because there may be something that we encounter along the way that perhaps we're not necessarily a round pin in a round hole. We have a slightly different take on this. How do we do it?
Yeah, excellent. And you know that I come from a very strong coaching background. That was the franchise that I owned, and people would when I would talk to them about being a coach franchisee, I would show them some of the things, and they would go, "Well, that's obvious. You know, that's common business sense. You know, why?" But I would go, yeah, but unfortunately, the marketplace, the business owners aren't doing these things, on their own, and they needed someone to be running along the sidelines with them along the way. So that's great.
And I think it makes it more real. We can all read a book, but we don't read it to understand every nuance.
Yeah.
And half the time, we don't have the time to read so much.
I'm sorry, Penny. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. All I was going to say is there are summaries at the end of every chapter, so people can pick up on it. And also, for somebody who's just starting their franchise, we have a little quirk. We've got a QR code. I think we're one of the first how-to business books that have done this. Got a QR code to the knowledge sharing platform that I use for a small database. So if somebody's stuck and they think, oh, how do you write an SOP? I'd like some guidance. Or how do I put an audit together? Then you can use a QR code, capture it on your cell phone, go straight into there, and then you find it. And then for somebody who would like to know more about the operations manual, but doesn't want to read the whole thing because they don't have time, I have a little chat bot in the library, so you can ask it anything. And the challenge would be for readers to read it and find something it couldn't answer.
Yeah. Well, and I've, I've, What I was going to say is I've read that somewhere between 2 and 4, 2 and 5% of people can actually read a book and apply things. So it's a very, very few people can really do that.
Yes.
Couple of other questions. We have a few more minutes. Couple of other questions. As my franchisor audience looks at this and they consider writing a manual themselves, or they consider getting some help, whether it's do it for them or yourself, what kinds of questions should they be asking? What is there anything specifically they should be looking for in advance of actually developing a new manual or revamping an old one? Any other questions or thought process that they should go through?
Yes, they should look at their IP. For example, the forms they use. Maybe they've got a brand standards manual, guidelines, mm-hmm. anything like that. And I've developed a system. It's all in the book, so this is common. This will be common knowledge. That you have to have an introduction to your operations manual, which tells the new franchisee all about you, what the marketplace is, what they bring to the notional partnership, what you bring to the partnership, what it all means, and some of the very, very important information like your service level, expectations, that kind of thing, contacts, glossary, if you're using a lot of acronyms and names that are strange to somebody new. And then you start with your new business setup and support, people or your team, so it's all anything to do with people in your business, marketing and promotion, or some people prefer marketing, sales and marketing, but marketing and promotion mainly, day-to-day operations, and very important, development, growth and profit.
Interesting.
So if you look at all your IP and start putting them in digital folders with those categories, you will start to build up a picture of what your business system is. You can also do a gap analysis to see what you don't have.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. So I have two more questions. If you'll stick with me for a little bit longer, I have two more questions. If you were buying a franchise, do you think they should ask to look at the I keep calling it the operations manual. Do you think they should take a peek at that? And if so, what should they look for? What kinds of questions should they ask the prospective or the franchisor that they may be buying from?
Well, there are two sides to this. When you're starting the franchise, it's very difficult, and you probably get some, I don't know whether you do this in the States, but pilot franchises.
Mm-hmm. We call them emerging brands, I think, more so, but yeah.
Get full-time franchisees on board. Mm-hmm. So there is nothing to show. So you're going from just your core business, and you're saying, well, we're in the process of writing our operations manual, or creating it, putting it together. So we've got nothing to show. But we would like you to be part of the process so that we can ask you what you would have liked to have seen in there had you looked at a manual, or had we introduced you to the knowledge sharing environment when you first undertook the training.
That's wonderful.
So make them part of the process so they can help hone and sharpen your systems.
Yeah.
Because although if you've got an existing business and your systems are sharp, they may not be sharp for franchising.
Yes, that's very, very true. And I was one of the upsides that I thought to when I got into my franchise, I was the first one in the United States, and I was one of the first probably 60 or 70 around the world, which sounds like a lot, but when they're all scattered all over the world, it's not really a lot. And that was one of the things I loved about the opportunity of an emerging brand, because I got to really participate in many, many different aspects of the business and the development of it and the growth of it. So so great information. All right, Penny. So there's one question I always ask at the end, and that is there anything that I haven't asked you? Is there any key points or thoughts that when you were preparing to join us that you said, boy, I've got to make sure I say this? So anything like that you'd like to share before we wrap up?
I think it follows on from the last one. You know, when you're an emerging brand, but what if you're a mature brand? Yeah. And how you update your manual? And I think the answer here is take a long, hard look at it and see whether it falls into these categories and whether you can have a simpler way of doing this. And for franchisees coming on board, they do need to see the manual. And if your manual is no good, I would suggest that perhaps they might look for another brand. That's very contentious. I understand that.
No, you're, and I think what you're encouraging people is to bring your manual into the sales process. Even
it is, because if you can't see the second most important document,
yeah,
that is to be created, and it's a requirement of the franchise agreement, there is something wrong. And we all know that sometimes you can see a wonderful shiny product without any substance.
Yep. Yeah. Do you have a copy of the book, Penny?
Yeah, I do.
Why don't you show everybody a copy of the book? Is it on through your normal channels? There we go.
Yeah. Manual Magic. It can be found on Amazon.com.
Awesome. Awesome.
It's in Kindle. Kindle format and also paperback. I would suggest that paperback is easier, only in terms of the fact that you might need to take some copies of stuff, but you can still take screenshots from a Kindle.
That's great. That's great. Penny, thank you so much for being with our audience. I appreciate you.
It's been such a pleasure, Don. Really, it has. And great. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Thanks.